Good evening, this is Dan Hale, and I welcome you to another 2 hours of Mormon Miscellaneous. This evening, as some of you may or may not know, I have a guest that will be on with me, and we're going to be talking about the book that was written by this author, entitled Losing a Lost Tribe, Native Americans, DNA, and the Mormon Church, a topic that has been at the forefront of a lot of publicity the last few years, the questions pertaining to Book of Mormon historicity, how the Book of Mormon came into being, and the subject has, of course, been of central interest to Latter-day Saints and those who are not LDS or those who were once LDS throughout time down to the present. And so we will be talking with Simon Southerton this evening by phone, and we'll proceed in a discussion of his book and items related to it. Let me just check here and make sure that I have Simon on the line with me. Okay. Hello, Simon. Are you there?
I'm here, man. Hi, how are you?
Very good.
That's good.
I'm going to talk for just a couple of minutes and to give you a moment or two to think about what I thought would be a good approach as we begin this program is to clarify for our listeners our different perspectives. And what I wanted to do is just ask you to spend several minutes just presenting your conclusions from your experience and studies in regard to the Book of Mormon. I'd like to follow that with a brief statement of my conclusions based upon my studies and so forth. And then let's talk about your book and go into some of the information there, and then we'll invite callers to participate with us. Does that sound okay with you?
Yeah, that does sound fine.
Okay, so and the reason I want to do that is I'm kind of straightforward in this program, and I would like our listeners not to be have some doubts or some question about the differences in your conclusions and mine, and then we'll go from there. And so to give you just a minute or two to think about that, let me inform our listeners how they can participate with us this evening. If you think that you will be interested in participating, you may want to jot down a little bit of information. And it is as follows. If you're in Salt Lake and would like to place a call, our phone number is 254-5855. And for Utah County, that number is 470-5855. For Weber and North Davis counties, the number is 670-5855. If you would like to call from out of the area, the number is 801-670-5855. And if you would like to participate by way of email, then I would invite you to send email. And I simply don't have the ability to deal with email that's very long and incorporated into the program. So if you have a short question or statement, if you agree or disagree with anything that I say or that Simon says, you're certainly welcome to make that, to voice your point of view by way of email, and you would send that to van.hale@k-talk.com, and that's van.hale@k-talk.com. So those are the means by which you can participate in our program this evening, and this is I think a very interesting subject, an important subject obviously to those who've been interested in the LDS faith from almost any perspective. The cornerstone of our faith has been and continues to be the Book of Mormon, and so issues surrounding that have been very prominent in discussions of the LDS faith from its beginning to the present. Simon, let me just read this on the back of your book. It says, Simon Southerton is a senior research scientist with the Commonwealth Scientific and Industrial Research Organization in Australia. And you are I'm just going to summarize this a little bit. You specialize in molecular biology, and you've published articles in international journals on plant molecular biology and plant physiology and so forth. You served an LDS mission to Melbourne and are a former member of the LDS faith and a former bishop.
Yes, that's correct.
Okay, is there... So are you ready to give us some your conclusion as to where you stand in the course of your studies on the Book of Mormon?
I guess from the DNA studies, which is pretty much what I focus on in my book, I've pretty much reached the conclusion that most scientists studying Native Americans have also reached, and that is that Native Americans are clearly descended from people that migrated from Siberia across into the Americas several thousand years ago. And so that's pretty much widely accepted by the scientific community, and it's also a number of people who are defending the Book of Mormon, apologists and scholars at BYU, are also starting to accept that, yes, most of the ancestors of Native Americans are descended from people who migrated from Siberia. So for me, that creates, certainly for me personally, it creates a dilemma for me because of the belief that I had that their principal ancestors were from Israel. And so I guess if you were to wrap up the conclusion of the book, it's pretty much that there is this clash between what I guess the majority of members of the church believe and what science is clearly showing. And it's very difficult to grapple with these issues, particularly when the apologists and those who defend the church, the Book of Mormon, are beginning to accept that Asians are the principal ancestors of Native Americans, and that conflicts completely with what the prophets have said. So you have the scholars conflicting with the prophets, and it almost seems like the scholars defending the Book of Mormon are being drawn with the science so far away from what the prophets believe and what the vast majority of the members believe. So I guess that's the dilemma that I feel that arises because of the DNA research.
Okay, very good. Let me let me launch into just several minutes in which I will identify or roughly capsulize my point of view on this issue. I became interested in the whole subject of Book of Mormon historicity a number of years ago and have spent a lot of years thinking about it and pondering different issues pertaining to it, and long before the discipline of DNA has developed to where it is today, it was clear to me that the sciences and linguistics and history and so forth, there was a consensus among those participating in those different disciplines that the American Indians, in fact, North, South, Central American Indians, all of them, really are of Asiatic origin. And so this whole discipline of DNA that's developed has not surprised me that it has some confirmatory evidence to that particular idea in the minds of scientists.
I guess the major difference, I guess what DNA has added that we didn't have before, was that it is a quantitative measure of ancestry. It gives the DNA suggests that in excess of 99% of Native American DNA clearly comes from Asia. So, whereas in the past we might have felt that, a lot of their ancestors may have come from Asia and a lot came from Israel, we now know that that's not the case from the DNA. So that's, I guess, what has added. There certainly has been the belief that they came from Asia for a long time amongst the scientific community.
Okay, and to press forward with my perspective a little bit, What I would suggest is that my conclusion is that the Book of Mormon is a book of religion, and the question of historicity is something which is, in my estimation, incidental. Now, I'm not suggesting that this is this is my point of view, the approach that I've taken on it. It's a book of religion, not a book of history. And the thing that has impressed me, I think there's a solid reason that to me is persuasive, that indicates that the Book of Mormon is of divine origin. And I look more to its history than the question of its historicity, looking at the remarkable success that the Book of Mormon has had from its virtually unbelievable prospects in 1830 when it was published. The publication was just remarkable at that time that Joseph Smith sought and found a means to publish 5,000 copies. That was a very, very large run in those days. And the book was produced with the idea of doing something specific, and that is to inspire and convert individuals to the idea of changing their lives, submitting themselves to the gospel of Jesus Christ in a modern form, joining together and taking the gospel message to the world, which seems remarkably unlikely when we look back at 1830 at Joseph Smith's background, his expertise, and so forth. And yet, to date, I saw recently a figure showing that the Book of Mormon has been distributed to 78 million copies have been distributed. Van Hale returning, and I mention again that my guest this evening is Simon Southerton. Those who are listening, I must insist this evening that you narrow your questions and comments to the subject at hand, which is typical when I have a guest. So keep that in mind. Let me go back. Simon, are you still there?
I'm here, yep.
Okay, so basically the bottom line for me in regards to the issue of DNA and Book of Mormon historicity is that it's incidental, and the real question is the Book of Mormon of divine origin? And I see substantial reasons within the very core of our foundational beliefs to consider the Book of Mormon from a different perspective than the question, is it a translation of an ancient history, and look more to its remarkable history and the success that it has had in doing what it was intended to do to change lives and be the keystone of an international organization taking the Book of Mormon and our particular form of the gospel of Jesus Christ throughout the world. So I hope for our listeners an idea of the difference in our point of
view. Well, I think that's a view that many members of the church are beginning to hold. And certainly in the community of Christ, or formerly the reorganized church, many members there can quite publicly express their belief that it's an inspired document that leads them to Christ, and it's got a lot of very good teachings in it. I guess the difficulty is that for some people is that they see that clearly the Book of Mormon makes historical claims there, that Native Americans are largely descended from Asians. And this has had quite a lot of impact on around the world, in that Native Americans who join the church or the missionaries contact in the Americas are repeatedly told that they're descended from the Book of Mormon peoples, and the Polynesians as well. So there are probably several million members of the church that believe their ancestors are descended from the Book of Mormon peoples. Now, for somebody who's doesn't believe in the historicity of the Book of Mormon, it's probably troubling them to see that sort of belief is still taught, that the prophets are still teaching these people that they're descended from Israelites when they're actually descended from Asians. And they're still teaching that for some of these people that their dark skin is a result of a curse from God. So if there was if nothing else was achieved by my book, I would like to see the church begin to stop teaching these things which we now know are correct. I'm really in favour of people. I don't want people to just discard the Book of Mormon out of hand. If they feel that it's got good teachings in it that can be applied in their lives and it can lead them to Christ, then I think they should, hang on to it. But I think there are some teachings that have arisen from it that we need to let go of. I think they belong in the 19th century, and Native peoples have their own genealogies, they have their own belief systems, and we ought not to be imposing a foreign belief system on them, which is certainly in regards to their ancestry and to their skin colour. I think we can just leave those behind and not teach those anymore.
Well, and there's no telling what may occur as we move forward in the LDS faith, because at the very foundation of our belief is the idea that the restoration is a work in progress.
Yeah, and I'd like to see, and I think there are some encouraging signs. Yeah.
Well, what I really don't have a, my comment in regards to what you were saying about the Indians being of Asian origin and that they need to know this, I don't know, I mean, from a genetic standpoint, from a historical standpoint, I think that certainly an argument could be made for that, but
yeah.
The fact is that I was watching a program not too long ago about different people, different Native Americans, and they don't have, their traditions don't subscribe, at least what I was hearing, and there are many groups of Native Americans, but their tradition does not seem to subscribe to the idea that they're of Asian origin. I mean, you know, there's folklore and history and so forth. From a religious standpoint, I don't know how important that really is. That, to me, it isn't really that important. The idea is, that is significant to me is that God has a message, and the message is that we are all, coming from an LDS perspective, we are all of a common family, and
yeah.
we are God's children, and God is interested in everyone, whether they're Native Americans or whether they're Jews or Gentiles, to use some LDS terminology. And the specific detail of origin, we are very interested in as Latter-day Saints with all of our genealogy work, but we only go back, you know, a few generations with that. The idea of going back to our absolute ancient ancestor, we don't have the capacity to do that.
Yeah.
So I'm not troubled by that, but historically and scientifically and so forth, I think there's been a lot done, and certainly your book adds to this, a lot done to talk about the origin of the American Aborigines, and I have no problem with that.
Yeah. Well, I think... I'd like us also to, I would like it to get to the point where, a Polynesian could be quite comfortable at church, not believing that he's descended from Lehi, and a Native American is also comfortable believing that he's not descended from Israelites, because at the moment, if a Polynesian I know some Maoris, and if they went along to church and questioned the teaching that they were descended from Israelites that migrated from the Americas into the Pacific, if they questioned that, they'd be troubled. The bishop would want to speak to them. They would be uncomfortable in church. So if we could get to the point where we don't have to believe the history but still be comfortable in church, then that would be a good step. I think a good step in the right direction.
Well, in my point of view, I think the Book of Mormon is best read in the context of a translation of an ancient history.
But
as far as I'm concerned, the question of the historicity of the Book of Mormon is, for me, a non-issue. It's not something that... I think we've way overstressed it in the church myself, but then I don't see myself as someone campaigning for any particular change. It's not my calling or position.
Yeah. yeah.
in the church. Again, we're going to pause for a minute and come back and continue. Hold on.
Van Hale and Mormon Miscellaneous on K-Talk. AM 630 KTKK. Mormon Miscellaneous with Van Hale on K-Talk.
Okay, let's continue on. Change the format a little bit this evening on how the commercials and everything work, and I like them, but it's, I'm not quite used to them yet. That was shorter than I was expecting. Okay, well, what I really, I was very, very fond of the introduction in your book. I think you did a very good job of going through, making a presentation of just an overview of the whole issue, and also I enjoyed the place where you talk about different points of view among Latter-day Saints in regards to Book of Mormon historicity. And you and I obviously differ to some extent on the question of the ultimate conclusion regarding the Book of Mormon. There are other points of view. I have a I like this statement from President Hinckley. I'm just going to pull one line out of it. But this was in his first presidency message in the Ensign, February 2004, so just a year ago.
Mm-hmm.
But he says this. The whole quote, the whole article, I thought was very, very good, and I might get back to it later. But he says, reasonable people may sincerely question its origin. He's talking about the Book of Mormon.
Yeah.
But those who have read it prayerfully have come to know by a power beyond their natural senses that it is true. So he's contending in this that reasonable people may sincerely question its origin, that he's looking at the belief in the Book of Mormon having to do with the content of the book that's approached prayerfully and to turn to a power beyond their natural senses to determine that it's true. And within the church, there are, as you've mentioned, as you brought out in your book, there are some different points of view about the question of the American Indians, their ancestors, the historicity of the Book of Mormon, and so forth. And how do you see the attitude within the believing students and scholars within Mormonism, how are they responding to this issue of DNA? And your book's, of course, new enough, but there isn't a lot yet out in response to it or discussion. But of course, you're pursuing a similar approach as Tom Murphy. What are some of the different approaches to dealing with this issue of DNA that you've encountered?
Well, I guess the responses are not a great deal different to responses to the lack of archaeological evidence. And I guess for about 70 years now, scholars, LDS scholars who've been working principally at BYU have been proposing that the events of the Book of Mormon didn't take place over the entire continent, and that it was a very small colonization that occurred, and that the events of the Book of Mormon pretty much took place in a reasonably small area of Mesoamerica. And so that's, I guess, in response to the DNA evidence, this, what is called the limited geography, which is widely accepted by LDS scholars at BYU, is becoming quite prominent, in that a lot more people are becoming aware of it. And so, if we look at the DNA evidence, it's if there was actually a very tiny group that migrated from Israel and they mingled with a very large population when they arrived, certainly it would be very difficult using DNA to find traces of a very small colony. Because it'd be like looking for a needle in a haystack. And so I guess the challenge for the apologists is that when you, the limited geography, which is still has not found much acceptance in the LDS community, most lay members of the church find it difficult to accept that there were large numbers of Native Americans around the people, surrounding the people that came from Israel, and that they then were recruited into their populations. The Book of Mormon doesn't say anything about these people, and so I think a lot of people that read it would find it difficult to believe that the Book of Mormon civilizations that we're aware of in the large battles involved very much large numbers of Native Americans. So, what we're seeing, though, is that increasingly I think that the apologists are acknowledging, yes, the DNA shows a large number come from Asia, so they're shrinking the impact of the Book of Mormon now to the point where it's, you know, it's a tiny family arriving and they're surrounded by Native Americans. And that, I think, is really quite difficult for most members of the church to accept.
Well, in the I've been engaged in a lot of discussion on that particular point of view, and I find the arguments non-persuasive for this limited geography. I read the Book of Mormon, and it seems to me to be best read as a history of North and South America. I think that's the best context in which to read the Book of Mormon. Whether it's factual about history is, from my point of view, not the... I think that LDS apologists have played up so strongly this idea that we need to prove the historicity of the Book of Mormon to save the Book of Mormon as an authentic book of inspired scripture. I see a substantial... I come from a substantially different point of view that I don't care if it's history or not. The question has to do with the origin of the Book of Mormon. And if it came from God, and if God used what appears to have what has historical flavoring, and what appears to be a historic narrative, if that's what he used in order to make the Book of Mormon what it is and do what it's done, then I don't have a problem with that.
I think there would be many members of the church who would love to be able to believe all the things that you believe, Ben, and talk about it at church and be comfortable talking with other people at church. I don't think that's the case right now.
I would agree with you.
And if we can move to a point where we can be honest with our, in our doubts about this historicity, there's no doubt that it's got some good teachings and it can bring people to Christ. But if you currently, if you question the historicity, you do find yourself, the pews become a little bit more uncomfortable.
Well, I think what we're facing is this point, and that is this idea has been advocated by many Latter-day Saints. I've encountered it myself with a number of LDS apologists. The idea is that if the Book of Mormon is not a translation of an ancient history, then it's a fraud. Joseph Smith was a fraud, and the church is nothing more than the fruits of that fraud. I just disagree with that. I think that there are various literary means to teach, and the most far and away the most powerful throughout the history of the human race, the most powerful way of teaching is through stories and parables and metaphor and so forth, rather than sermon and discourse. And I cannot see in my own mind, from my own point of view, I simply don't believe that to prove the Book of Mormon is not a history, in fact, proves that it is not a divine origin. I simply don't subscribe to that point of view. So I don't, while I appreciate what those who are arguing for the limited geography theory, while I appreciate what they're doing, they're opening the door to ideas and speculation that are not in harmony with our established tradition, opening the door for thoughts along different lines. I appreciate that, but I don't subscribe to that particular point of view. As we continue on with my guest, Simon Sutterton. Simon, let me just mention that your book is available. It's published by Signature Books, and it's available in a number of local bookstores in Salt Lake. How would somebody acquire this book from outside of this area?
Probably the easiest place would be to get it through Amazon.com or Barnes & Noble online. They've got online bookstores. Unfortunately, outside of the U.S., it's very hard to get hold of. It's much more expensive, much more difficult to get access to.
Okay, and...
A lot of bookstores through Salt Lake, Borders bookstores, and several other bookstores.
And the price on it in U.S. dollars is $24.95.
That's correct. Yeah.
That's the. I found your book very readable. The whole topic of DNA requires learning a whole new vocabulary and everything, you know. But I enjoyed your book. I think it's a good presentation of material. I ran across a number of little things that I thought were erroneous that deal with LDS topics, but I don't really want to dwell on those because they don't really, I think, have much to do with our talk, with the main thrust of what your book is about. So
yeah.
I will leave those alone. Maybe I'll send you some of these privately, some of the things that I think are some problems. But basically, the bottom line in your book is that the Polynesians and the American Indians date back there in the Americas and the Polynesian Islands actually farther than most Latter-day Saints and non-LDS Christians believe there was any life on the earth. Isn't that right?
Yeah, but that's correct. Certainly, if you look at the what mainstream scientists now widely accept concerning the colonization of the Americas, it's widely believed that the American, certainly the North American continent, was widely inhabited in excess of 13,000 years ago, and it was part of the reason that they couldn't enter the Americas much before then. That period was the occurrence of very large ice sheets that covered much of North America. It was also during the Ice Age that there were lowered sea levels, as much of the oceans were frozen. It dropped the sea levels, and exposing a land bridge between North America and eastern Siberia, and it's believed that the earliest ancestors of the Native Americans were Siberian hunters that just simply followed the large game that they were, that their family groups were feeding on, and they just, without knowing, just walked into the American continent. With Polynesia, it's quite a different story.
Simon, let me interrupt you for just 1 second. I'm getting a lot of variation in the volume here. I don't know if you're maybe not speaking directly into the phone, or I'm worried about some of our listeners being able to pick up. So if you could just, you know, see if you can help me out on that. Go ahead.
Okay. With the Polynesians, it's a much later colonization event, and it's really related to they developed extraordinary skills in sailing. They developed outrigger canoes that gave them the capacity to sail long distances into the Pacific, and they colonized much of the Pacific within a period of about 3,000 years ago to about 1,000 years ago. And during that time period, they colonized pretty much most of the islands of the Pacific. And clearly, the DNA and much of the archaeological evidence points to a colonization voyage originating in Southeast Asia and sort of sweeping out into the Pacific, island hopping as they sailed colonized islands for a little while and then moved beyond those to the far reaches of the Pacific. And the last places to be colonized were places like New Zealand and Hawaii and Easter Island, which were colonized about 1,000 years ago. Yeah, so it's a different story, and it's quite a fascinating story of how they were able to make such remarkable journeys. New Zealand was certainly, the evidence suggests that New Zealand was colonized by quite large groups, not just a stray sailing voyage where somebody was fishing and they got lost, but planned voyages with men and women and their children and families, and probably dogs, chickens, pigs, all sorts of animals. So it would have been a very interesting sort of time out there on the high seas.
Uh-huh. Let me go back just for a minute to some of the ideas advanced by some Latter-day Saints in this on this whole subject.
Looks like it came from Asia. Scientists, yes, they would believe, yes, they do originate in Asia. And we're looking now at about 175 plus Native American groups and tribes that have been tested across North, Central, and South America. So if you're one of the scientists working in the field, you're getting that feedback down there?
I am getting a little bit,
Yeah, I think we might have another flood cross line somewhere. I'm getting a lot of feedback here.
It sounds like you're hearing the delayed broadcast. It's hard to talk with that going on.
So in my view, that's enough
to
certainly determine that the vast majority of their ancestors come from Asia.
What about other scientists, other non-LDS scientists who are working in the area of DNA and ancestry of the American Indians? Is there anyone that who is taking the position that there could be a migration that resulted in actually the Book of Mormon suggests I don't know what the total is, but into the millions of ancestors and so forth, is there anyone that sees it not nearly as conclusive as you do from a non-course LDS?
I'm
putting them out of the picture and saying from non-LDS scientific perspective, is there a door opened by any of those individuals to the idea that there are a significant number of descendants from Israel? About origin in America. My guest is Simon Southerton. Simon, you ready to take some phone calls and respond to some email?
Sure. Yeah, I think I fixed the feedback problem.
Okay, very good. And we're coming up on news in about 7 minutes, so we'll see what we can do between now and 6 o'clock, and then we'll pursue calls and email in our second hour. You're on the air.
Yes, Simon, before I ask you a question about DNA concerning the Mexican people and their race, let me ask you a qualification question, sir. I understand you are a former bishop and an excommunicated member of the Church of Jesus Christ, right?
I was a former bishop. I'm not an excommunicated member yet.
You're not yet?
No, I'm still on the roll.
I see.
Yeah.
Are there proceedings against you?
Not that I'm aware of.
Oh, that's good. Well, Simon, let me ask you one question here. When were you ordained a high priest into the order of the Melchizedek priesthood? Approximately when were you ordained into that priesthood?
That's a tough question. That would have to be back in about 1990-odd, I think. It was when I was first made a member of a bishopric when I was in Sydney.
And they ordained you just as you were made a member of the bishopric?
Yes, I think so.
That doesn't sound very feasible to me, but anyway.
Yeah.
Yeah, no. When were you a 70?
I was never a 70.
Okay, fine. Now, on the Mexican DNA, does that apply to your theory, too, that they are from Asia, the Mexican people?
Yes, well, scientists have DNA tested approximately 500 people in the Mexico, Central America, Guatemala, pretty much all the way down to Honduras. About 500 individuals from about probably 15 different groups.
All right, sir. What about South America? You have a test sample there also?
Yes, they tested probably over 3,000 Native Americans from South America. And again, they find the same sorts of...
Who is they?
These are just research groups from pretty much all over the world.
Research groups from pretty much all over the world.
Yes,
okay.
Americans.
I'll just listen to you, buddy.
Yes.
Thank you.
No problem.
Okay. All right, let's get in another caller. You're on the air.
Hey, man.
Hello?
I've got a question and sort of a comment. I watched recently the video DNA versus the Book of Mormon. I'd never seen it before.
Yeah.
I've been emailing with an individual that belongs to the Living Hope Ministry on the subject. And, well, I like the information put out in the video, but I believe it's a little bit misused by them, because from my emails, I find that they are Bible literalists, so couldn't I use the exact same research about DNA to show that humans go back close to 150,000 years?
Yeah.
And show the DNA relationship between humans and, say, chimpanzees,
yeah.
Couldn't I then use the same research against the Book of Genesis?
I've spoken to Joel Kramer about that, and I know he's been portrayed as a Bible literalist, but that's not the case. There are people within his ministry that are quite comfortable believing that we're descended from people that lived 150,000 years ago in Africa. And there are many Christian people who don't hold to the literal belief that we're descended from Adam and Eve, and Adam and Eve that lived, you know, roughly 6,000 years ago. You can find a comfortable place in many churches not believing in that literal sort of history. So, does that answer your question?
Interesting. It wasn't the same person that I've been emailing with there.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Well,
I certainly know the people who produced the video. That sort of issue was sort of outside the scope of the video. They didn't want to cover all of, I guess, the issues that the DNA raises. They're certainly not Bible literalists, and they tolerate a very wide variety of views.
All right. Well, I was just wondering, because the individual that... Because I emailed the website, and the guy that emailed me back, we kind of gotten a... just sort of back and forth argument on email about the story of Adam and Eve, and what science has to say on that. But that's interesting, though, that not all of them are. So I guess that answers my question.
Thanks for your question.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Of course, that is... something that we have seen happen more and more within the broader non-LDS Christian community is a turning away from the idea of the Bible being literal, although there is a strong movement among evangelicals to the idea that the earth was created in 6 literal 24-hour days, and it was created not very long ago in the 6,000 year range, and so, it would seems a little peculiar that somebody who is arguing along this line, give up the Book of Mormon and accept the Bible, there's to say, but you accept the Bible according to our interpretation of the Bible, which does not look to the stories in Genesis and elsewhere in the Bible as being literal. It seems like if a person can have that point of view of viewing scripture as not necessarily being literal, that one would think that they would allow that same point of view or same approach for Latter-day Saints. Okay, anyway, Simon Southerton, author of the new book, Losing a Lost Tribe, Native Americans, DNA and the Mormon Church, by Simon Southerton. And I guess we should just go back to our phone lines. Does that sound all right, Simon?
Fine by me.
Okay, here we go. You're on the air.
Yeah.
Yes, go right ahead.
Well, hey, I've enjoyed the discussion on this. I have got a couple of ideas that maybe you haven't considered. Adam and Eve lived on the United States continent, so that takes DNA back at least 6,000 years. And the Lord brought the Jaredites over 2,000 before B.C., 600 B.C., the Nephites came over. And at the Tower of Babel, we don't know how many other groups the Lord led somewhere, maybe into China. They found Christianity in the Buddhist caves over there and types of Christianity things. So Christians have been there, and the Lord could have brought a group of people from there to South America or wherever. But those people who were in the Book of Mormon lived in the eastern part of the United States around the Great Lakes, and that's where they died. That's where they came. All three groups is in the eastern part of the United States. Now, that disagrees a lot with some of these BYU scholars, but they don't follow the scriptures. They've got a theory that doesn't hold water. It is contrary to the scriptures that's in the Book of Mormon. But the DNA, we don't know half the groups that the Lord has. We only have a record of the group in the eastern part of the United States. And so DNA is interesting. That it could be a group. They say they come from Asia or into Alaska there. Well, the Lord could brought them by ship to South America or the western coast or wherever. Have you ever thought of anything like that?
Well, the overall, if you bring all the data together, the archaeology, the anthropology that's been done, and the DNA science, it suggests, it all confirms the theory that Native Americans originated, they entered the Americas 13,000 years ago. And I guess that certainly does predate any of the time periods that you were mentioning, into South America and then into North America.
Because I used to believe that the world was created in 6 days according to our days, but a day is a length of period of time. And therefore, somebody in the Bible says that there's an indication there that indicates 65 million years for total creation. And so I haven't found that, but I know a man who has researched.
Yeah, the science certainly suggests that. The earth is very, very old,
and
ancestors lived a long, long time ago.
Most Christians in the world today don't even understand what God is, so I don't know how they can understand half of the rest of the stuff that's in the Bible without revelation, because that's the way it was given.
Well, one of the situation that I see that we're facing is that we have inherited a lot of tradition, a lot of ideas. The book of Genesis is something that it's not just about the issue of periods of time. The order of creation that we find laid out in the book of Genesis is such that I think it does not make a lot of sense for people, religious people, to go up against science and try to maintain some literalness of the book of Genesis, either in the time frame of creation or in the order of creation. I think the direction I have gone, at least, is that we have a lot of tradition, and that's been something that's been used in the promulgation of religion throughout the ages. Within the LDS faith, we consider ourselves infants in the gospel that God has a great deal to reveal to us, and our traditions are something that we should not absolutely cling to. This was a very prominent point of view that Joseph Smith advocated numerous times throughout his life, that if we knew the truth, it would go against our traditions to such a point that we would fly to pieces like glass, as he put it. I personally don't find any reason whatsoever to try and argue for any kind of literal interpretation of the book of Genesis. It's a,
and the prophets are certainly encouraged of the church.
I agree with that, too. Because
to seek learning.
As time goes by, more things are being revealed. And that's, the earth had to be there somehow, so it was created, and I don't worry about the details, but DNA, it could be scattered all over this world, and when they go back 150,000 years on DNA, it's going to be like the theories that the earth was flat and the sun used to go around the earth. The theories are being broken every day.
Well, that is a point of view that's quite common, but myself, I have a tremendous amount of confidence and endorse the scientific method, and if science demonstrates, produces substantial evidence that is the consensus of the scientific community that the Earth is several billion years old, and that life began a long time ago, and that the traditions that we've had about migrations here and there, and the idea of the Tower of Babel and all of these different things, if science finds substantial support that is against this, my tendency would be to go back and reinterpret our tradition rather than to try and dismiss science by saying they don't know what they're doing. As my whole life revolves around the incredible advances of science. I rely every day in life and death situations on the tremendous advances of science. I just have a great deal of respect. And then go back and say, well, we have this document that dates back a couple of thousand years, and it says this, and this is the way I interpret it, therefore all the scientists are wrong. I just simply can't go down that road.
No, I wouldn't go down that way either, because the Lord talks in parables, which mean a lot to many different interpretations, that when they go back 150 million years, thousands of years, man didn't exist on this planet.
I guess the issue that
that's right there, and I don't know how they can ever test the DNA back that far anyway. They have no samples, no man.
Scientists have certainly been able to test, they can extract DNA from ancient remains, so some of the Native Americans that they've DNA tested, several thousand years of age. And
How do you tie to the Eastern Indians and the Western Indians compared to the Aztecs have the same, different DNA?
No, there was pretty much Native Americans from all over North, Central, and South America have fairly closely related DNA. The work that's been done is predominantly maternal DNA studies where they're studying the inheritance of DNA called mitochondrial DNA from mother to offspring. So it's passed down from mother to daughter, and then the daughter.
Okay, thanks a lot for letting me talk.
Thank you.
Conversations, and of course, just some thoughts I thought that might need to be considered.
Appreciate your call. Thank you. Okay, we've got quite a bit to deal with here in our last 45 minutes, so I'm going to move along a little faster than sometimes I typically do. But let's go to this caller. You're on the air.
Hello?
Hello?
I'm on the air.
Yes, go ahead.
Okay. First of all, I have a personal question for Simon.
Yeah.
Does he realize... What's
your name? Sorry, I didn't get your name.
My name is Mike.
Hi, Mike.
Mike. And the thing is, do you realize that you've set yourself up for the rest of your life to be facing people who are in a state of denial? It's like all these people, all these callers are like alcoholics or a drug addict who are unwilling to face the fact that you presented before them, and they're going to be coming up in front of your face for the rest of your life.
I don't intend to be talking about DNA for the rest of the
book. Oh, okay. Yeah. But the Book of Mormon.
Yeah.
You will be. You've subjected yourself to that.
Yeah.
I do have a comment.
Yep.
And that is, faith in a lie is a delusion. And a shared delusion is a cult.
Yeah. Well, I guess, you know, that I do have a difference in opinion, I guess, with Van on the... Van is able to still maintain a belief in the values of the Book of Mormon teaches.
Personally,
I think for a lot of other people, they do.
The blasphemy of Christianity, and that's why there's this division between Christians who practice the Bible, or they've been taught in the Bible, as opposed to this made-up story from Joseph Smith's hat. And it's not only Joseph Smith's hat. I take it that your DNA evidence also goes against a book written by Ethan Smith titled View of the Hebrews or the Tribes of Israel in America. I'm referring to Grant Palmer's book, An Insider's View of the Mormon Origins. You're in a state of denial. And apparently you personally have not really overcome it, because you want to say, oh, you know, this and this and this is good, and, you know,
I feel for you. I do have a difference. Van certainly holds on to many of the good things in the Book of Mormon, and I acknowledge that they are there, but I have a difficulty with seeing the evidence and seeing that I can't believe that the...
Would you ever say that King Benjamin existed?
Sorry?
Did King Benjamin ever exist?
No, I don't believe that.
Okay. Yeah, did the Klingons exist?
We've got a break for commercial. Hold on, we'll be right back.
AM 630.
Let's continue. Caller, I'd just like to make a quick comment. I certainly don't expect you to see merit in what I'm going to say from what you've said so far, but I find myself persuaded by the history of the Book of Mormon. It's remarkable success in doing that for which it was published, and that is to change the lives of people.
Oh, polygamy.
Let you talk. Let me finish this. My point of view is that the Book of Mormon has done a great job, a remarkable job, in converting people to a point of view and joining together to do what the Book of Mormon was intended, to take the gospel message to the world. And millions of lives have been changed, and to me, that there's significant merit in looking at the history of the Book of Mormon as I don't believe in the whole idea of proving the supernatural or anything, but to me there is within the history of the Book of Mormon certainly a tremendous amount of things, and I've discussed some of these, and I will in the future further, but there are many things that I see that indicate that the Book of Mormon is a remarkable book that exceeds any realistic expectation that one would have of the future prospects of the Book of Mormon in 1830. Anyway, I'd like to let the two of you make a comment or two, whatever you would like, but I need to move along because we have a lot of callers.
I understand.
So.
Thank you for
appreciate your call. Thank you. Okay, let's go to some email right now. We have some other callers, but I have ignored our email. Let me go to several of these. Okay, this email reads, good topic, good guest. Question for Simon, does the DNA evidence alone that you are aware of sufficient for you to reject the Book of Mormon? A little problem with that sentence, but you get the gist.
Yeah, for me personally, and I guess this is where we differ in our views, Van, is that because for me personally, the Book of Mormon makes very strong historical claims, and it does appear to me to be claims that involve the colonization and civilizations that were pretty much over the a large area of the Americas. For me personally, that's enough enough for me to lose my faith in the Book of Mormon as an inspired document.
Mm-hmm.
But I certainly respect the rights of people who believe in the Book of Mormon to maintain a belief in it, but not believe that it's historical. Okay, I think there are many people in the church who want to still continue to enjoy the fellowship of friends and family and the support that the LDS Church offers for families and to worship Jesus Christ in that sort of an environment. But I want things to move to the point where somebody who doubts or questions the historicity of the Book of Mormon can also feel comfortable in the LDS community, and that's not the case at the moment. If you're at church and you question the historical or the widely accepted historical views that Mormons have, then you're quickly asked by the bishops to keep quiet about those views.
Mm-hmm.
And that, I think, would be a good way to go forward. And I don't like it when I hear callers calling in sort of ridiculing the church and the things that have gone on in the past. I'd like us to move forward, move beyond that, put the things that the historical claims in the past no longer refer to Native Americans and Polynesians as Lamanites, move away from those sorts of things and certainly ditch this belief that a dark skin results from a curse from God. Those are very, very damaging teachings, and people that hear those, and Native people that have been taught those sorts of doctrines, are hurt very deeply by those sorts of claims. And we now have DNA evidence that shows these claims are false. Native American DNA wasn't changed to Asian DNA to trick us. They're clearly descended from Asian people and not from Israelite people. So I'd like us to be able to get to the point, or I'd like the LDS Church to move to that point, where those people with doubt can feel the love and the fellowship that everyone else feels. Because, you know, expressing doubt is not an evil thing. It's being honest. It's showing integrity.
Mm-hmm.
And currently in the church, if you express doubt, that's severely frowned on.
Well, I would certainly prefer a greater degree of openness of discussion and so forth within the LDS Church. But it's, I think different people have had different experiences. I have expressed my point of view for over 20 years publicly on the radio and talked about it off the radio. But my position is I believe the Book of Mormon is an authentic book of Scripture, and to me the question of historicity is not, for me personally, an issue, but I am not persuaded by any arguments that have been presented that the Book of Mormon is a translation of an ancient history. So, and I'm comfortable in the church. I have never really brought this up in a church meeting or something of that nature in any direct fashion, nor do I care. I think the Book of Mormon, it's fine to think of the Book of Mormon as a translation of an ancient history. That's I have no problem with that. I also think that the church from the very beginning, even though you refer to the dark skin being a curse, the LDS position from its very inception in 1830 has been very positive toward those with a dark skin. It's not that, you know, the idea has been, we want to take this gospel message to you. You are part of the chosen house of Israel, and there is
I can see that positive view from where you're sitting, Van, but there's Native Americans are on the other side of the, they're on the receiving end. And they're being told by many LDS people over many years that their skin is a result of a curse from God and they're descended from Israelites. And, you know, from speaking from their point of view, I think that's, I don't think that's helpful for them. I think that's wrong, and I think that needs I think the LDS Church needs to stop that, particularly in light of the evidence that they certainly that is certainly around right now.
I think that, you know, as I look at it, that it must not be as negative as you're suggesting, because there have been several million of who we refer to as Lamanites who have embraced the church. That's been one of the areas where we've had our greatest success in our missionary efforts. So it must not be as negative to them as you're suggesting. We need to pause. We'll be back.
Van Hale and Mormon Miscellaneous on K-Talk. AM 630 KTKK. Mormon Miscellaneous with Van Hale on K-Talk.
Okay, we're back, and let me see, I've got to see where I'm going next. I'm kind of overwhelmed here with the email and phone calls, so we're going to move quickly through this last half hour. Here is another email. These are two questions for your guest. If we ignore teaching of LDS leaders now or in the past on the subject, what internal evidence is there within the Book of Mormon to indicate that it teaches that modern Indians are exclusively descended from Israelites? Did you follow that question?
Yeah. I think there's no doubt that many members of the church, as they read the Book of Mormon, gain the impression that the book is concerned with large civilizations and lots of people. And that it's a hemispheric document. That's certainly the impression that most Latter-day Saints, when they read the book, that's the view that they get.
That's certainly
reinforced by the prophets, all of the stare statements, pretty much.
It seems to me, you know, I've followed this limited geography theory for some time and tried to see value in the arguments and so forth, but I think if you go to the Book of Mormon, I think to me the clear story of the Book of Mormon is that the land southward is South America, the land northward is North America, the narrow neck of land is the Isthmus, Panama, and there were no inhabitants here on this continent when the three different migrations came. This is where the peopling of the Book of Mormon lands came from prior to
the limited geography also requires that Moroni had to carry the gold plates from Central America to New York right at the conclusion of the Book of Mormon. It also implies in the Book of Mormon account that the land was kept from the knowledge of other nations. Lehi arrived in a land that they could colonize for themselves. It was a promised land for them. So, and there's also no mention of any non-Israelite people during the period, so
right.
I agree with you on
that. That's a significant point to me, because I can't personally accept the idea that you would have people of significant numbers keeping records over a 1,000-year period surrounded by people that were of a different lineage, a different different customs, different religions, so on and so forth. And there not be any mention of these peoples about trading with them, fighting with them, issues of intermarriage, these sorts of things that you would just, I can't believe that these would not be issues that would come up and be incorporated into the Book of Mormon. To me, it is clear, and of course there's a strong argument against this from people associated with farms and others.
Absolutely, that's their view now.
Yeah.
They've completely rejected the hemispheric model. That's the evidence now has proven to them that that's not the case. The only way that they can salvage the Book of Mormon historically is to move to a limited geography model, a very tiny colonization event and people of them, and then recruiting Native Americans into that population. I find it very hard to accept that when there's just no mention of these people, it must have been swamping them.
And I have been arguing for stepping out of this arena of fighting history, linguistics, and science, and turn our attention towards the positive aspects, the positive history of the Book of Mormon, the positive effects, rather than trying to prove the Book of Mormon is a translation of ancient history, because to me, the thing that is at the heart of this, I think, for both LDS and anti-LDS, is that for LDS, the idea being that if we can prove the historicity of the Book of Mormon, there is no logical way to explain how Joseph Smith could have come in the possession, naturally, of an accurate, detailed history of the ancient Americas. Even if he had come across something like this, there was no way to translate it. And so there was no natural means for Joseph Smith to have produced a detailed, accurate history. So the logical conclusion would have been that he had supernatural divine help in this work, and so this would be proof that Joseph Smith had divine assistance in this. But the thing that I gave up years ago was the idea that we can prove or ever will prove the supernatural, any of the supernatural events in our Judeo-Christian LDS tradition through the sciences or history or linguistics. So I'm not expecting that we're going to prove this. So I don't, the whole issue of trying to prove it through proving that Joseph Smith knew something that he could not possibly have known doesn't appeal to me.
Yeah. I guess my major criticism of the apologetics that I've seen to date is that in much of the work that I've looked at, I've found that many of the apologists have a tendency to attack the person. And I've seen some just extremely disappointing stuff written by apologists where they just rip into the person. And I've met many people that are troubled by the claims of the Book of Mormon, and they are just, they're wonderful people. They're, by and large, honest people struggling with things in the most honest way that they can. And it's not because they've just suddenly become wicked and evil, devious, and trying to attack the church. They're just trying to find the truth and to have open and honest discussion about things that clearly are not as simple as and black and white as many of the apologists like to think they are.
Yeah, I would endorse what you're saying. I've seen that myself. I've criticized that approach of LDS apologists. It seems to me that, I mean, my basic point of view is that a reasonable, logical person can study the Book of Mormon, can approach it, and come away not believing that it's a divinely inspired book. I also believe that a person, a logical, reasonable, sincere person, can read it and conclude that it is a work of God. I believe that either point of view can be believed by a rational person. So I don't like the idea of that you're suggesting, which is indeed frequently the case, that there are apologists that see somebody who does not believe that the Book of Mormon is a translation of an ancient history as an evil person. And I'm with you. I don't appreciate that. I wish that would go away. On the other side, though, I've been following some things on the ex-Mormon side on their recovery board, and I mean the hostility and the anger and the bitterness and the attacking of any person who would who believes has faith in the LDS faith is just torn down in the most despicable fashion. That there is this going on both sides. Yeah, I wish it go away.
That sort of thing is not helpful. Right. I can understand it, having been through, I guess, the process of leaving the church. It's painful. It does hurt when you you sort of lose that sort of brotherhood and fellowship that you had before. and I can sympathize with people who feel that hurt, because it can be extremely painful at times to lose beliefs that you had and to lose friendships that you had. And I think that to some degree explains some of the anger and hostility, but I certainly agree that some people just go too far, and it's not helpful at all.
Okay, let's go to another email. There are many... Uh-oh, we've got to pause for a minute. I'll come back.
There's weird music coming along again.
Yeah, it just comes on no matter what I do. So, okay, let's continue. And here is the next email. There are many LDS scholars in DNA who disagree with your presumptions. These are capable scientists of high repute. Question: has there ever been a study of DNA for the express purpose of determining the historicity of the Book of Mormon? Or is this material you have studied merely research into the ancestry of indigenous peoples in general?
Well, clearly the mainstream scientists aren't doing studies with the intention of disproving the Book of Mormon. The scientists are, the studies that I refer to, are examining the DNA of Native Americans in order to determine who their ancestors were. And their ancestors, at this stage, the majority of their ancestors clearly are derived from Asia. Now, the Book of Mormon clearly makes claims about the ancestors of Native Americans. And that's quite clear. There's no debate about that. So I don't see any validity in that sort of argument.
Mm-hmm.
Clearly, the scientists inadvertently are examining the same question that the Book of Mormon raises. We're talking about ancestry of Native Americans. DNA is examining it. The Book of Mormon makes arguments concerning it. So what we clearly have here is science investigating ancestral claims that have been made by a religious document. The religious document is making claims in the field of science that science can examine. So I think it's certainly valid to use or to look at that DNA evidence and the contradictions that arise from that.
Isn't the my observation of the whole typical scientific approach, and of course there are some that diverge from this, but typically scientists have a question, and in this particular situation the question is, where did the inhabitants of the Americas come from? And they go into that to attempt to find evidence for the answer to that question, not to prove or disprove anything.
That's right. The scientists doing this have no agenda whatsoever.
Uh-huh.
They're purely interested in discovering where Native Americans originate from, and for me personally and for many people, that's a really interesting study. And scientists are doing this with many populations around the world, and DNA is revealing some very interesting things. The fact that a very early Jewish migration to South Africa was revealed using DNA is very exciting, to learn that the Lemba, the black Jews of South Africa, have Y chromosomes that are clearly originate in Israel. Is a very powerful illustration of how DNA technology can link tribes that feel that they have Jewish ancestry with Israel.
Okay, let's go to another caller. You're on the air.
Am I on the air?
You are.
I understand you have some background in linguistics.
No. I don't know where you got that impression from, but I don't know.
Somebody mentioned
I can speak the Australian language, the Australian version of English.
Well, at any rate, it's my understanding that the vocabulary and grammar and structure of the American Indians' languages is quite different from that of the principal Asian languages, such as Chinese, Japanese, Korean, Mongolian, and so on and so forth. Now, if the American Indians have some distant past blood relationships with the Mongolian Asians,
yeah,
and I understand most the scientists believe that the American Indians are of Mongolian, the Mongolian human race, as opposed to Caucasian or Negroid, the black and white. Wouldn't there be at least a few cognate words between the American Indian languages and the Oriental languages? Have any cognate words ever been found between the American Indian languages and the Oriental languages?
Yes, most linguists, I think, for much more than 5,000 years, it's very difficult to find links. And so that would explain why there aren't strong linguistic links between Native American languages and Asian languages. But what they, in terms of the general language, I believe that Native American, like some languages are very rich in vowels, for example, and some are very rich in consonants. I think there is that sort of broad similarity between Native American languages and Asian languages. But as far as I'm aware, there aren't any really clear linguistic links, apart from tribes that are either side of the Bering Strait. I believe that there is linguistic similarity there, and that's probably because the Bering Strait has never been a complete barrier to migration. So the Eskimos of Siberia and Alaska have sort of migrated across the Bering Strait fairly frequently. In fact, in some very cold years, they can actually walk across the ice separating the three continents.
Okay, caller, I appreciate your call. Thank you. We need to move along quickly here to get in as much as we can this evening. You're on the air. Oh, I lost that caller. I pushed the button a little bit too hard. Call me back immediately, and I'll put you right on the air. Let's go back, go to another one here. You're on the air.
Yeah, thank you. Simon, how long has your book been available?
It was published in August of last year by Signature Books. So it's
available. Dan, I wonder if there's a button snuffers. I could not quite hear him.
It's been published since August last year.
It's hard, and is it available like in like Walden or Barnes & Noble?
Yes, I think it's available in most bookstores, major bookstores.
Okay.
Are you in Salt Lake or in Utah?
Okay, and Ben,
yes.
You know, I've been listening to your shows for, oh my goodness, as long as you've been on. I don't know how many, well over a decade. I think you've demonstrated a degree of honesty in allowing for more than the possibility of what your guest is advocating. It seems like that you're almost right there with him, and I think that takes a bit of courage, spending most of your life advocating the historicity of the Book of Mormon, not just your youthful belief, but even the years on the radio that you advocated that. But do you? Maybe I could ask your guest. This might put him on the spot. Do you find that?
Let me just interrupt you for 1 second. I was my views, my doubts about the Book of Mormon being a translation of an ancient history really go back in excess of 20 years. I have not, in any recent time, advocated Book of Mormon historicity. It's not for me. It's not an issue, and I I haven't really brought it up as a topic myself very often, although in fact I don't think I ever have. Next week I'm going to give a personal statement that I've been working on the last several weeks, that it's going to present my point of view in some detail.
Okay, well, there was a time when you did believe in it, and I'm just giving you credit for the courage.
Yes, that's true.
Yeah. Okay, but as far as your rationale in still believing that it's possible that the Book of Mormon could have been inspired, it's a contradiction to think that the basic claims of the Book of Mormon, when it comes to historical facts, are not true, yet at the same time allow for the book to be inspired. Did your guest also see that?
I share your concern there. I have great difficulty, you know, believing or dismissing the historicity without sort of, you know, taking a lot of other things with it. It challenges my belief in I guess Joseph Smith as a translator. But that's my personal view, and I don't feel people should just blindly follow that. I think they should. Can hold on to the beliefs of the book, of the teachings of the book, as Van does, and that's fine.
All right, well, thank you very much.
Okay, thank you. Okay, we can hear you. You're on the air?
Yes, I'm here. Are you there?
Yes, go right ahead.
Yes. Okay, Mr. Hale, I'd like to personally thank you for allowing Mr. Simon on the air for some honest and open dialogue. This is the first time I have ever heard, you know, anybody in the church who's active, who's been allowed to, speak with someone who has a contrary point of view or an opposing point of view. Most LDS people won't allow you to have any honest and open dialogue about things. I know if I go to talk about things, I'm severely criticized, and I've been referred to as an apostate and a lot of other things, but what I'd like to share with you, you know, like, she's pretty well covered this. Linguistics, archaeology, and DNA seem to all tie into the Asian continent with the American Indian. And can you find any evidence of any of the cities, peoples, or other events that took place in the Book of Mormon? Things like, you know, we were supposed to have an Iron Age here with breastplates and chariots and swords. Have they ever uncovered anything like that, you know, going along with the Indians and all?
Yeah, no, well, there's, yeah, you're referring to many of the sort of things that were mentioned in the Book of Mormon, the things like wheel and metallurgy and swords and breastplates and things like that. Archaeologists haven't uncovered any evidence for those sorts of things. Evidence that horses and cattle and sheep and goats and barley and wheat, none of those were brought into the Americas from the Old World.
Right. In order for the events to have taken place like the Book of Mormon tells you it has, I used to study it very thoroughly when I was younger.
Yeah.
Is, you know, for the culture to have come over from Europe, we would have had an Iron Age here, and we would have, the Book of Mormon specifically mentioned things like breastplates, helmets,
yeah,
swords.
And this is in the Iron Age period, which
pardon?
Is 3,000 years ago.
Did the Indians, are there, when you've done your DNA studies and with these different people all over the world that you mentioned earlier, have they uncovered any evidences anywhere in South America or North America indicating that there could have been an Iron Age here?
Not that I'm aware of. No.
I see. And I did want to ask Mr. Hale a question here, maybe you too, Mr. Simon. It's always bothered me, and, you know, in the Book of Mormon, in the Book of Ether, on the Jaredite expedition over, on the barges that they came over on, and I don't know if you have your Book of Mormon handy there, it mentions, you know, the length of a tree for a barge, and they're dish-shaped, and they have a hole in the top and a hole in the bottom, and this is going away from the DNA a little bit, but if you could please answer some questions for me, I'd be very appreciative. You know, when it talks about going down in the depths of the water like a whale and then coming up, and then to be out at sea for 344 days, it seems like, I know the Lord can make miracles whenever he wants, but the story of the barges doesn't make any sense at all, and I wanted to ask that to Mr. Hale, if you could please expound on that a little bit.
Sure. Sure. We're running so short on time, I'd sure appreciate your calling me back next week and I'll discuss this with you, but let me just in a very short way just say that my approach to the Book of Mormon is that I see it as a literary device that was produced to produce a certain kind of result, and the result is quite remarkable and impressive. I'm not interested in myself in trying to explain how the barges could do this, that, or the other, or the question of just archaeological points. For me, the Book of Mormon is a religious book. It's a book of scripture, and the purpose of the story of the Book of Mormon is to present a message in a palatable fashion for 19th century Americans, and it continues to be very meaningful even around the world, where I think a lot of people are wondering why they would have much interest in ancient history in America. But the Book of Mormon speaks to people in a powerful manner. Millions have changed their lives, and it's still the keystone of our LDS faith, regardless of the criticisms of science and historians and ex-Mormons and anti-Mormons and whatever. It continues to be effective. And I look to that as something very significant that demands some kind of explanation.
Do you ever look forward to a time, Mr. Hale, where there could be, like a division in the church over the Book of Mormon, but yet people still being allowed to be Latter-day Saints?
Well, I don't see, right now there are a number of different points of view advocated among Latter-day Saints that do not square with tradition, and a number of these, as we've talked earlier, go right down to people who are employed at BYU, have ideas that do not square with our tradition. I think the door is open, and I think it will open wider for people to have different points of view about the Book of Mormon. To me, the issue is